All right, take your Bibles this morning. Please turn to the book of Malachi, the last book in the Bible. Book of Malachi. Or if you're Italian, it's Malachi. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you that we can study, that we can know the truth. We can know our errors within our life and correct them so that we don't continue in sin, for we want to please you, Lord. Bless our lives as we are repentant, if we will seek your face. Humble ourselves. Turn from our wicked way. Help us to do that this morning. Bless in the preaching in Jesus' name. Amen. Book of Malachi. Call your attention to one verse, and then we're going to read some other verses as well. Malachi chapter 2. It's only four chapters in, the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 17. It says, "Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good, and in the sight of the Lord, and ye be delighted in them, or where is the God of judgment?" Then go to chapter 3. And starting there in verse 1, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide in the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like a fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. And I will come near unto you, to you in judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers and against adulterers and against false swearers and against those who oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right. And fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts, for I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye have gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you say, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all of the nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. They that work wickedness are set up, Yes, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him, for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. They shall be mine, saith the Lord, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serve him. Then ye shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. There's four indictments before you in that portion of scripture that we just read. Four things that God says was against his people. Four things that God was upset with. And Malachi brings that out. His own people that belong to him. Now Malachi, he was one that came back after the capture and taken into captivity into Babylon. 450 to 400 B.C. is when he lived. They returned from Babylon after Israel was captured and taken captive to a strange land, Babylon. And they returned from Babylon in 536 B.C. They rebuilt the temple in 457 B.C. They rebuilt the wall around the temple in 444. They had been back 100 years from that captivity, came back into the land. Now they had been taken into captivity because they were worshiping idols, not putting the Lord first within their life. When they came back, there was no idolatry now. They'd learned their lesson on that. But they got lazy. They were neglectful of the temple and the wall. They were lax. They started to degenerate. They were lethargic. They didn't care. No purpose within their life. The things of God. Basically, they cooled off on God. They got back into their land. They got their temple and their wall. But now we're just going to sit back. Don't care about anything else. Don't care about God, what's right or wrong. We got away from God again, just in a different way. And he brought out these four things, which was an indictment against the people, his own people, Israel. The first one is found in chapter 2 and in verse 17. I call your attention to it, obviously. He says, "Ye have wearied the Lord with your words." Yeah, you say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, every one that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. Where is the God of judgment? Bad situation. Calling evil good. Look at the first verse right there in chapter 2. "And now, ye priests," these are the ones that were offering the sacrifice and so forth. "This commandment is for you If you will not hear and if you will not lay it to heart, in other words, make it mean something in your life, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, and I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. You know, when I preach the word of God to you, don't let it just be words. Let it be God speaking to you from the scriptures and lay it to heart. Apply it to yourself. Look at verse 14. As it says right there. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit. And wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit. And let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith, He that hateth putting away, that is divorce. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that he deal not treacherously. Ye have wearied the Lord with your work. In other words, here they were not respecting marriage, not respecting the wife of their youth, thought nothing about divorce, just go ahead and treat the wife not as honoring her, not as loving her, not protecting her. And the Lord said here, that's evil. You have not taken this stuff and applied it to your heart. Your heart is far from me, he said. You know, that's what God's interested in. He's not interested in what you look like. He's not interested whether you got hair or you're bald. He doesn't care how much money you got. Doesn't care the color of your skin. Doesn't care anything about anything. Every living human being's got a soul, and he had his own son die for the souls, for the sin of the whole world, that soul might be saved. This is what's important with God. He sees right through your life. He's tired of hearing your words. God's a God of action. When he says he loves, he proves his love. Words are easy to say, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's a different thing to carry it out, to do what you say, keep your promises, keep your vows, keep your covenants between each other. It's called faithfulness. And that's the first thing that the Lord comes here. Says, I'm wearied about, I'm tired of your words. When you see something evil and you look at it and say it's good. What's right? What's wrong? The only one that knows what's right and wrong is God himself. So you need to go to God to find out what's right and wrong. Right now, as we live, as we apply it, it's God's word. You got to get into the book to know what's right or wrong. We call them morals. You got a society out here that has no morals at all. They make up their own morals as they go along. Act like a bunch of animals and say it's good. We even have a sodomite running for president of the United States. And they don't even open their mouth about it. God's angry with that. The Bible tells us in Psalm 9:17 that God is angry with the wicked every day. And he says, I haven't changed. you've changed. Amen. What's right is still right. What's wrong is still wrong. Keep your place here in Malachi. This is our text. Go to Isaiah chapter 5, please. The book of Isaiah. I hope you have memorized the books of the Bible. You'll never be able to follow along with sermons or anything else, be able to be fed. We only have a certain allotted time. I can preach for 4 hours, but I think it's better to try to keep it to 45 minutes or an hour. So you got to know the books of the Bible so you can get to these books and follow along and learn and grow. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Let's all read that verse together. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put light darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. These are the woes of Isaiah that he's bringing out. It's the same one there that Malachi was saying at the end of the Old Testament. And after Malachi wrote, there was 400 years that God did not speak. The silent 400 years. God's had it. God had had it with his people. Even after the captivity. Here's their attitude. Well, whatever. Huh? They were lax. Lethargic. No love for God anymore. Back here in Malachi, I call your attention there. As it talks about delighting. They delighted in it. Go to Proverbs 28, please. Look at Proverbs chapter 28. You love the Lord, make it more than your words. God's tired from your words. You say, I love the Lord, but you don't try to memorize anything in the Bible, memorize the books of the Bible, everything. God's tired of your words. Oh, I'm a good Christian. Yeah, prove it. Oh, I care for souls. Oh, prove it. You've been out soul winning, been out giving out tracts, witnessing the people. Prove your words. That's what God was saying there. Proverbs chapter 28 and then verse 4. It says, they that forsake the law praise the wicked. But such as keep the law contend with them. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Amen. The wicked don't know what's right and what's wrong. But those that love the Lord, they understand. Why are you putting the evil for good? Not standing against the evil. Wrong will always prevail if good men do not stand against it. There has to be someone that stands up. Someone that calls out the wicked. Important that we realize all of that. We have the truth in the Bible. It is, by the way, the Bible does not contain the truth. The Bible is the truth. Amen. It's not just places in the Bible where it's true. No, it's all true. The Bible is true. Daniel Defoe said, he that has truth on his side is a fool as well as a coward if he is afraid to own it because of other men's opinions. Don't care what anybody says about the Bible. Don't know what they're talking about. I'm not to respect the wicked. I'm supposed to be against that. God says, I'm tired with your words that you do. And here, they delighteth. It told us in Proverbs 28, didn't it? They delighteth in to have it that way, that there would be no difference between what's right and what's wrong. Let's all just put them in one big melting pot. How do you make something pure? Anything. You don't mix it with evil. You don't mix it with dirt and filth and garbage. You keep it pure. God wants his people pure. God wants his people's minds pure. His people's heart pure. Good. Not evil. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3, please. Book of 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3. Verse 1, it says, in this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both which I stir up your pure minds. You got a pure mind? By way of remembrance. You forget real quick, huh? Things of God. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, mockers, walking after their own lusts. After their own lust. What's the word for that in a society? Hedonism. We live in a hedonistic society. What is a hedonistic society? They only live for pleasure. Doesn't matter about anything else. Just as long as it fulfills their lust. Hedonism. Obviously, those people were unsaved, but this is the way that people live. And he said in the last days, that's the way they're going to live. In verse 3, he tells us all about that. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. In other words, they're going to mock the second coming of Jesus Christ when he's going to come back again. Because he hasn't come on their timetable, then they're going to make fun of it. And says, where is he? He's supposed to come. Everything's the same from creation. In verse 5 it says, for this they are willingly are ignorant. Oh, they're not so smart, according to God. They're ignorant and they're willingly ignorant. In other words, they're stupid on purpose. And that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the water whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. That's the flood. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, and by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand days, and a thousand years as one day. In other words, time doesn't mean anything to God. A thousand years down here can pass away just like a day with him. That's why your timetable doesn't match up with his. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count like them, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Great chapter. I could read forever for that. Do you get it, my friend? The hedonistic society we live in, only living for anything that just pleases them, it doesn't matter whether it's evil or good. So they call the evil good. And those that are good, evil. You see that everywhere. Out here in society, Dr. Phil and his crowd and so forth put down the Bible and preachers and churches and everything else. Take things out of context, run them down. Anything that just pleases. That's what they do out here in the world. They don't care anything about what is really good. But what did you just read in 2 Peter? There's coming a day of judgment. The second coming of the Lord. No matter how many people mock, scorners, doesn't matter if they say anything. All about that. What do people live for out here? Not only their lust, but they live for material things. Oh, the more things I can get, and I'll just stock them up and hoard stuff and pile it up to the wall. I mean, I never use it. I just get it. I got to have things, got to have things, got to have things. They live for things out here in the world. Doesn't matter how much it costs. They take out the plastic card, and they put all of their money there. Now they're in debt the rest of their life. Bible teaches against all of that. They work for all of this stuff. And guess what? That God's going to burn it all up. With fervent heat. It tells you right there, we just read it. What are you living for? What are you living for? That's what he said. I don't want to hear your words. I see how you live. You might put on a good presence in front of others. But he says, I know what's going on. Because I change not. The world will always change, but I change not, he said. Amen. Go back to Malachi as I get to the second indictment. Said there in chapter 3 and in verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? You know, once you go your way, you get away from God. God's waiting for you to return. And he says, when you return, I'll return unto you. Why would you walk away from all of the blessings of God? Why would you walk away from the truth? If you walk away from the truth, you've got to walk into untruth. You've got to walk into lies. The way that it was there in Luke chapter 15, as the prodigal son left the father. And just like the testimony that I mentioned about that hunter yesterday, millionaire with all of his ducks and everything and the whole sports hunter type of thing, and he lost it all, he had to go to prison. And today he thanks God that he lost it all and went to prison. Because he got right with God. And now he's being used greatly for others. He's learned how to love others. Love God first and love others. And that was the message of Jesus. And it hasn't changed either. He said, you've gone away from me, my people. Come back. Come back. Go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, we're in the back of the Bible. Everybody's familiar with 1 John 5:13. That's right, with God anyway. But I'm not going to look at that. I'm going to look at 1 John, right after Peter. 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 1, it says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that loveth, loveth him also is begotten of him." In other words, you love God and you love those other brothers and sisters in Christ as well. That's ones that really believe in Jesus the Christ. By verse 2, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." "Gone away from me," God says. "Return." Pretty easy to give up. You think it's easy, but you're doing a hard thing, because that's going to cost you big time later. Because when you leave the truth, when you leave God, you got to come back to God. And that's harder on you in the end than if you stayed. No, he doesn't want us to go away from him, but he says, "When you come back to me, I'll be here." God hasn't gone anywhere. He never will. When you're not faithful, he is faithful. How many people profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ yet they've never been baptized by immersion? They go to these funny churches out here that think sprinkle a little water on a baby or something is baptism. That's a baptism. That's water on a baby. That's all that is. A baptism at all. It's always by immersion. I don't care what the name of the church is or who the pastor is. He or she out here in this world today. You've left the Lord. Take it for granted, taking the Lord's Supper. Taking it unworthily. Wow. I've got to hurry. Third thing that he shows here in Malachi is found in chapter 3 and in verse 8. Malachi 3:8 says, "Will a man rob God?" Boy, is that a question. Have you ever been robbed? Huh? Anybody ever take anything from you, belongs to you, took it away from you? Or even worse, have you been the one that robbed somebody else? What do we do when we catch somebody, a thief like that? Wow. Get some stiff penalties, do you think? Yep. Other countries around the world, you got a thief, cut off his hands. So he can't take anything anymore. But even here in the States, we put him in prison, don't we? I can understand if you would rob another person. It's wrong. You're going to be punished. But people rob other people. I can't even comprehend, and neither can God. How can you rob God? He asks a question. Will a man rob God? How can that be? How is it possible? You read that and God's in shock. We sure are foolish people. Did you know everything that's yours is God's? Blood in your vein belong to God. Air in your lung belong to God. Clothes in your back belong to God. House you live in belongs to God. Car you drive belongs to God. Shoes in your feet belong to God. You do not have own anything. You'll find that out the day you die. He's given you everything in your life because it all belonged to him and he gave it to you. You know what? He doesn't ask for all of it back. But he says, the tithe, the 10% of everything I've already given you, I'll allow you to keep 90% of it. But you're robbing me if you don't give me that 10%. And he says over and above that, giving might be a little thing to you, but it's not a little thing to God. I hardly ever talk about money and stuff, but this is in the context and what we're talking about here. God's upset. You might think it's a little thing, but it's not to God. And he's not just talking about money. He's talking about everything. He's talking about your praise. It's not just with your tongue, 1 Corinthians 6 says. You were bought with a price. Wherefore glorify God in your spirit and your body, which are God's. You know that spirit you got inside of you? You got an ugly spirit this morning. Whatever spirit you have, you're supposed to give that to God. He allowed you to do that because you have self-will. You have self-will this morning to do right or do wrong. To either humble yourself or not. It's up to you. Humility. Wakefield tells the story of the famous inventor Samuel Morse, who was once asked if he ever encountered situations where he didn't know what to do. Morse responded, "More than once, and whenever I could not see my way clearly, I knelt down and prayed to God for light and understanding." Morse received many honors from his invention of the telegraph, but felt undeserving. He said, "I have made a valuable application of electricity not because I was superior to other men, but solely because God, who meant it for mankind, must reveal it to someone, and he was pleased to reveal it to me." What an attitude of humility. Boy, aren't I something? I invented the telegraph. No. God opened your mind and heart so you would be a blessing to everyone else. You wouldn't have your cell phones or anything else today. Samuel Morse. Good Christian man. Isn't that what our memory verse was, folks? Four things you had to do. What were they? Well, it's the first thing. If my people will humble, humility, then seek his face. That's praying. So, humility. Right here. Humility. Then you seek his face. Then what?
Turn from his wicked way.
So now you've already called on the name of the Lord because you humbled yourself. Some people won't even humble themselves. Now you've been walking this way away from the Lord and doing your own thing. I'll do what I want to do. I'm not going to listen to anything. You're going to turn from your wicked way. 180 degree turn. Got to be a change in your life. Then he said, I'll forgive you. Matter of fact, I'll make your land healed. Your praise belongs to him. We like to praise men, don't we? How about praising God? He's the one that deserves it. A lot of people think they are God's gift to mankind, you know. People who sing their own praises do so without accompaniment. Pride is the most peculiar disease known as the human family. It makes everyone sick except the fellow who has it. Too much pride to get on your knee. Too much pride to seek his face, not your own. A man operated a general store. On his countertop, he had nailed a yardstick. He measured yard goods, rope, and so forth by that measuring stick. Finally, the man died, and his son moved back and took over the operation of that little store. One day, an employee of the Department of Weights and Measures came by, examined his, quote, yardstick, and pronounced it a full inch less than a yard in length. All those years, the old gentleman had honestly thought that his measuring stick was accurate, but he was wrong. His honesty did not make him right. Now the son was faced with a decision. He could refuse to admit his father was wrong and therefore be wrong himself, or he could say, "My father honestly thought he was right. I now know something my father did not know. If I do not live up to that knowledge I have, I will not be as honest as he was." What would you do? Own up to it? We put a lot of people up in praise. And sometimes they're honest people, and they think they're right, but they're wrong. All of the praise belongs to God. God's the one that gave you everything. It says, I have it against you because you you rob me in your tithe and offerings. How about everything he gave you, like your time? Do you give 10% of your time to God? Witnessing? Giving out tracts? Using your talent? Using your energy? Don't rob God. Don't think it a little thing. It's not a little thing with God. Just telling you, you'll give an account one day. Figure it out right and do what's right. One last thing. Malachi chapter 3 and in verse 13. He says, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that ye have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are delivered. We put people up. We put them up. We put them on a high place, high plateau. Highest plateau here in America is president. Really? Are we going to take wicked people that we know are known? Liars after liars, lie and lie and lie, and put them up. We're going to vote that way. Is that right? I think of Hillary every time I read this verse. But anyway, he said, now we call the proud happy, yea, that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they tempt God are even delivered. I think of Hillary because of all of the stuff that she did, and she's still not in prison. And she belongs to be there. The Bible speaks about everything. Oh, you got stout words against the Lord. You better watch out what you say about God. Your words are going to come back on you. And don't you think that God doesn't listen. He hears what you say. It tells you right there. He's got those things against his own people, Israel, and he's got them against us too. Four indictments in the last book of the Old Testament, and then he doesn't speak again for 400 years. Our nation isn't even 400 years old. 400 years of law. You're going to hear the truth from the Word of God. You're going to know better. We need to repent. We need to repent. We need to humble ourselves. What a change in this nation, in your own life, in your own family. You'd be surprised how God can heal once you go ahead and humble yourself and pray and get right with God. Oh, I wish things were different. You're fighting against God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live a miserable life. Being right with God will solve that. So you need to get right with God. Not put it on the back burner. Need to do something about it this morning. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the word. Thank you that we can know what you think and what you've said. Thank you for the holy prophets that you have spoken to, in the Old Testament, and I bring these things out. Lord, you haven't changed. Jesus, same yesterday, today, and forever. Help us to be the one that changes. Help us to be humble this morning. Help us to do what's right. And use our self-will, not against you, but for you. May we choose the right. Bless in the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your hymn books, please. Number 220.